Now, for anything like me, the older you get, the worse your memory gets. I swear I know exactly where I left my car keys. And yes, don't tell me they're in the last place I look. But in my digital life, things, I don't know, there's just projects. I'm doing research for different projects all the time. I go down different rabbit holes and I think, wouldn't it be nice if I could just somehow categorize all of these things related to self-hosting or soldering or woodworking, put them into buckets and kind of find these web pages and store them and hoard them until the end of time. Well, that's where today's self-hosted app pick, Karakeep, comes in. This announces itself as the Bookmark Everything app. It allows you to quickly save links and notes, but it has a few tricks up its sleeve. It's, I know, don't click away, but it's got some AI juice under the hood, which will automatically add tags to your notes, as well as allowing you to summarize massively long web pages as well. And in this digital age where so much of our information kind of suffers from this, I don't want to say bit rot, but maybe you know what I mean when I say that. Like, it kind of just has this entropy of dead links and like things just don't seem to stick around for as long as they used to. Well, with Karakeep, it will take a snapshot of the web page as both a screenshot and a text searchable transcript of the page as well. So let me show you a couple of things in action here. So here is a couple of links I've hoarded. In fact, later on in the video, I'm going to walk you through the process of installing Karakeep. But for now, here's a really quick demo before we get into the nitty-gritty later on. Now, if I click on this button here, you can see there's a few options. I've got an actual, it takes a screenshot of the page. So on this day in history, this is exactly what this website looked like. Isn't that cool? And on top of that, I can click on this button, which will take me to the original page. I can look at it. I can say summarize with AI. And this is using an OpenAI API token. So far, I've only spent about 50 cents and I've been using this thing for about 3 months in my personal life. So, you know, it's not free to use OpenAPI, but it's not too terribly expensive either. And you can see rather than maybe having to search through and skim read this whole page, I can now just look at this little AI generated summary. These tags were also AI generated automatically when I hoarded the web page. So let's show you, let's do something like Tailscale how it works. Okay, cool. Now, if I click on this button up here, I've added a Chrome extension to my browser session, which again, we cover towards the end of the video. And this allows me to hoard this web page inside of Karakeep. And you can see, I'm just going to do like no user intervention. It's figured out what the tags are for this specific video. So VPN, mesh network, WireGuard, Tailscale, network security. That looks good to me. But I can also add lists and things like that. So in Karakeep itself, I can go in and create a list somewhere. Here we go. And I'm going to call this one, I don't know, networking education. Create that. And I want to now add this article to a list by clicking on the three-dot menu and manage lists. This will be available now anytime that I want to add or clip a new bookmark or whatever. I'm going to add that on here. But maybe you noticed in that drop-down there's a few other interesting options. And one of them is download a full page archive. So this is really allowing you to download all the assets that the web page has, any images, and really just prevent that kind of link decay. That's probably the correct way to say it, link decay that happens across the internet these days, sadly. So for me, this is exactly what self-hosting is all about, finding a problem in your digital life and finding a self-hosted service to fix it. So let's dig into how we actually deploy Karakeep and, well, I nearly called it Hoarder. This project used to be called Hoarder a few months ago, but there was some kind of a trademark dispute and some kind of a patent troll, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, the project succumbed to it and had to rename itself Karakeep. So if you find any references in the app to hoarding or anything like that, that's why they're there, is because the project was originally called Hoarder, which was a better name, unfortunately, but such is life sometimes. So let's dig into how we actually go ahead now and deploy Karakeep. So let's move on to the deployment section of this video. By now, you probably know I'm going to be using Docker to do this. So I've put a link in the description to a GitHub repo where I have a bunch of code snippets for all of these videos. And today's video is no different, talking about Karakeep, of course. So in this VS Code window right here, I have a Docker Compose file that's going to outline the deployment of Karakeep for us. There's a few containers to look at. First of all, we've got this Karakeep TS container, and this is what's going to put the Karakeep app onto your tailnet. We're then going to link the Karakeep app itself two-tail scale using this line here, network mode. So in terms of deploying the tail scale portion, that's already taken care of now. So the Karakeep app itself, I don't know, there's three containers involved here. There's the main application itself. Then there is a containerized version of Google Chrome. This is pretty interesting. And this is how Karakeep actually does the scraping. So what it does is it looks at a web page and it goes, well, I need to load this up in a fake browser and then scrape the contents that way. And then Mealy search. I don't know how to say this one. This one is what you use to actually, it's kind of like a very, it's almost nothing like Elasticsearch, but it's a very lightweight version of a search, like a local search engine that you can use to search through all your bookmarks and all the content that Karakeep has hoarded for you. So there are a few things to look at in here that we need to be aware of. Now, the official project documentation recommends that you put these things in a .env file separately from your Docker Compose file. However, personally, I always prefer to keep things declarative and just keep them all, you know, all the configuration required to make the application run, keep it alongside the application, not a separate file. You can choose to use an .env file if you prefer, but this is the route I'm going to go today. Now, we need to do a few things here. We need to make sure that we've got all of these addresses correct. You can see that I've got HTTP. Well, basically, we're going to go through the environment variables, right? And I'm not going to go through each line by line, but you are going to have to make sure that all of these things match. So Karakeep hyphen Mealy search. The browser web URL needs to match the name. So that's what this needs to match here is this line here. In fact, let's just add a couple of lines to our definition further down here, just so that everything is definitely going to be named exactly what we want, you know, explicit and being declarative and all that. So container name, Karakeep, Mealy search. Okay, cool. Now we need to configure a couple of the secrets in here. So the next auth secret, and there is some information over on the project's documentation on exactly how to generate that. You can see here using OpenSSL rand, blah, blah, blah. So if I just copy that into a terminal window right here, it's going to generate me a random string, which I can just copy and paste into my secret right here. And now that's taken care of. Now we want to next look for the master key, which is another random string, which I assume we can generate in the same way. If we can't, then we're about to find out, but let's just do that for now. Okay, here we go. Let's paste that in here. Okay, so we've got our two secrets. We've got our secret here. We've got our master key, but what you might notice is further down in the Mealy search container, the master key is also specified here too. So make sure you update that in both places. And this could be a good reason to use a .env file rather than having things in the files, you know, alongside. If you're using the .env file, these values get presented as environment variables to the container when they get spun up. So you don't need to update it in multiple places, but I don't know, like it's personal preference. Let's just leave it at that. Now, next auth URL needs to point to the server's address. And of course, we're going to be using Tailscale for this. And it's going to be running on karakeep.velociraptor-noodlefish.ts.net. So how do we find that stuff out? So if we go to tailscale.com and go to your admin console, get signed in, of course. You know, you've probably seen me do this 100 times on the channel, but, you know, you just get signed into your Tailnet. Once you're there, you want to look for the DNS tab at the top of the page. And then there is your tailnet name right there. You can rename it so your default tailnet name will be something that looks a little bit like this. You can re-roll your name to have something that has, you know, a tail and something that has scales. you also want to make sure that you've got Magic DNS turned on and HTTPS certificates turned on in your Tailscale admin console too. And so that's how you get the address. So you know that now that your tailnet name is velociraptor-noodlefish.ts.net. But in terms of getting the first part of it, we've got to make sure that this hostname variable here is set to whatever you want it to be. You could say hoarder, you could say keep, you could say bookmarks, whatever you want to call it. Those things just need to match. Okay, so that's the next URL taken care of. This data directory, just don't touch it. Just leave it as slash data. You can see we've specified that as a volume up here. That's where all of the data for Karakeep is going to persist. And then there are some crawler environment variables I've specified here to store screenshots and that kind of stuff. Nothing too crazy. Now, if you want to specify an OpenAI API key in order for some of the automated tagging and summarization and stuff like that to work, this is where you would specify that. So if you want to head over to platform.openai.com API keys, this is totally optional. Karakeep will work just fine without an API key, but you won't get some of the automated tagging and some of the smarts. I do believe that Karakeep will also work with Olama and some of the other sort of more self-hosted options, but I don't know. I'm just going to show you how to do OpenAPI today. So I'm just going to call this Karakeep TS and then just create a secret key right here. I'm going to remember to revoke that before the video goes live, of course. I'm going to uncomment this and then just put my API key in there like that. And we should be good to go now. We should be able to now deploy this software. So we're going to need somewhere to run it. And I have a virtual machine set up in Proxmox today. So here in the first tab, I have a VM, you know, Karakeep VM. This is just running on 10.42.782. That's the IP address of this virtual machine. And I am SSH'd into this system. So SSH is a way to remotely access a system from, well, in my case, my laptop. So this virtual machine is running on a server where it's actually just out of shot, just down there in the darkness. You can't see it, but this virtual machine is running on that box over there. And I don't want to have to, I can't even physically go and connect a keyboard and mouse to it because I'm not, it's a virtual machine. It doesn't have a physical interface like that. So when I want to administer that machine, I need to use a secure shell to get a shell prompt to actually do anything with it. So that's what SSH does. And I can use this ZFOD user, which is a user that is created inside that virtual machine, type in my password, and suddenly I can interact with that virtual machine as if I was, well, ostensibly physically present on it. So I can do a Docker. Well, actually, the ZFOD user isn't in the Docker group. I need to be sudo in this case. Enter my sudo password. And I can see there are no containers on this box. So if you decide for some reason you want to put your user into the Docker group so you don't have to type sudo every time you want to use Docker, you can do sudo user mod minus OG. I think it's this. It could be the other way around. And now I can do ID. Did I get it the right way around? No. I always get this one wrong. ZFOD Docker. Oh, no, I did get it right. Okay, cool. I'm going to log out and log back in again. And I'm in the Docker group. Yes, I am. So now I can do Docker PS without doing sudo. So again, that was just user mod minus A capital G to add to a group. And then ZFOD Docker. All right, I digressed a little bit there. Sorry about that. But Tailscale is installed on this machine, and this is a really straightforward process to do. You can head over to tailscale.com/download and go to our Linux option and then just paste in this script. And this is going to allow you to install Tailscale on pretty much any system. It'll download the install script and do all the rest of it. But, you know, I've already done that. Tailscale's already installed here. But if you need to install Tailscale on the host, and you don't necessarily need to, but I like to for the following reason. We are going to have to copy this Docker Compose file from our laptop to the remote system. And I like to do that using the Tailscale VS Code extension over here on the left. You can go to the VS Code extensions option here and just search for Tailscale and install that this way. And then that will show up on the left here. And it will pick up the authentication you've got in your operating system client and pass that through to VS Code. And it will scan for nodes on your tailnet. You can then modify files on those nodes directly from VS Code. And it's just really, really simple. So what I want to do right now is do a sudo tailscale up minus minus SSH. Type in my sudo password and connect this node to our tailnet. So I'm going to get this URL, which I'm going to command click on, and then click on sign in with Google. And once that's done, we should have the Karakeep VM on our tailnet. And I need to select the tailnet because I'm a member of a couple with this account. Visit the console. And here we go. We've now got Karakeep as a virtual machine, as like the host for Karakeep. This is now on our tailnet, and we can do tailnet status just to verify that on the host. And then if we go back to VS Code, we should see that we've now got Karakeep VM indeed as an option. So before you click on the VM, you want to right click and do change SSH username. And I want to set mine to ZFOD. You can, of course, set this to whatever you want to be. and sometimes it will match the laptop you're connecting from and it will all just kind of work. But in this scenario, we want to do ZFOD. Okay, so now if I click on this drop down option here, you can see I can modify files in the directory of the remote virtual machine. I've got a file explorer, I've got a terminal option here, so if I click that button there, you can see I've now opened in the home directory of ZFOD, and there's currently nothing there, so I'm going to do make dir containers, why not? And then if I click the refresh button, you'll see that directory now appears, and I can do new file, I can do compose.yaml, and double click that, and now I can edit these two files side by side. So on this side, I could have the one on the remote machine, and this one I can have the one on my local laptop. So I'm going to copy and paste that between the two and then change into the containers directory, and then we can just try and run this thing. But I think though, we've got one more thing to fix before we go ahead and try and do that. We need to get ourselves an auth key. And so this is going to allow us to authorize this application onto our Tailnet. So head over to settings, go to keys over at tailscale.com, generate an auth key, and I'm just going to call this one Karakeep. I'm going to do reusable because I'm doing a demo. You can leave all of this stuff completely stock. I'm going to copy this onto my clipboard and then paste this in here. And we should now actually be good to go. So I'm going to copy this onto the remote system. Press save. And now I'm going to do a Docker Compose pull, which will pull all of those containers down. And then once that's done, we can do a Docker Compose up minus D. And it's going to start those containers for us. So let's jump back to our primary shell for this node, jump into the containers directory, and then do a Docker Compose logs minus F, and just see if there's anything kind of funky, kind of weird going on. Don't see anything right now, so hopefully that's a good sign. Now we can check that Karakeep as the app was added to our tailnet right here. Okay, we can see that that's a really good sign. Now, if we go to this drop-down menu here, we can get the entire host name, or the entire sort of fully qualified domain name for this service. And then we're going to want to do HTTPS Karakeep dot whatever. But of course, it's not going to work right now because on this occasion, we didn't specify anything to do with Tailscale Serve. And Tailscale Serve is the way that it's basically a reverse proxy built into Tailscale that you can use for any service on your Tailnet. So what I want to do is do a Control C to come out of this. And then I'm going to do something a little weird. I haven't done this on the channel before, and it's something that I was experimenting around with one of our engineers the other day, and it was like, why don't you just do it this way? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, so we can do docker exec minus IT, find the name of the container that we want to execute inside of, which is actually going to be containers Karakeep TS1. And then we're going to do tailscale serve. What port number? What port number does Karakeep use? And then by default, I think that Karakeep uses port 3000, so we'll try that to start with. So essentially what we're doing is tailscale serve dash dash BG 3000. And you can see that we're now proxying port 3000 from inside your tailscale Karakeep container to port 443 on your tailnet. And it will be accessible at this URL. So let's head over here now and refresh the page and see that this is now reaching out to Acme and SetDNS to do a whole bunch of stuff to basically put this thing on my tailnet with a proper TLS certificate. No messing about with reverse proxies. This is now on my tailnet. So I'm going to sign up as ZFOD. I'm going to call myself ZFOD at, well, why not, tailscale.com, and then create a password. Here we go. Sign up. And there we go. We are now using Karakeep. So let's go and clip our first item. I don't know. Let's do Wikipedia TCP/IP. Yes, a thrilling article to kind of hoard right here. But essentially, you can just paste that and save that into Karakeep, and it will now be in there forever. And you can search this thing as well if you want to. You can look. Let's find a really random word. Internetworking protocol. Okay, that's a very strange word. Let's do internetworking. So you can literally search the entire contents of these articles in the search box up here. You can also configure Karakeep Chrome extension to work directly with Karakeep itself, so you don't have to copy and paste links kind of manually around. We can add this extension to our Chrome session. I believe there's one for Firefox as well, if that's more your flavor. And then we want to put in the server address of, well, I'm not going to type that out because it's quite long. I'm going to put this on my clipboard. And then, where did it go? Let's pin that one up here for now. Click on here, paste that into here, configure. And I'm going to go and get myself an API key. Sure, why not? Let's go into user settings and then API keys on the left-hand side. Generate a new API key of Chrome laptop. Create that one. Copy that to my clipboard. Paste that into the extension. Configure API key. Log in with API key. And now when I go to a random website, so let's look for pangolin anatomy. What a random set of Google searches I do for this channel. Let's go to Britannica rather than Wikipedia, so you get a different idea of what's going on. I can now just click on this button, and you can see that we're going to reach out to OpenAI, and it's going to do some tagging for us already. So let's just check that's actually working. Well, there you go. You can see it's already added through AI. It's already added the tags to this thing. So I can now search in my I nearly called it hoarder, in my Karakeep instance. I can summarize the article with AI. I can look for tags. I can do a whole bunch of stuff. But again, I can search for pangolin. You see, it's really fast. Like, I mean, literally, if I type the word PA, you can see PAN, and it disappears immediately like that. So there's a pretty quick overview of what you can do with Karakeep. There is probably more to it than that. I mean, you can plug this into an OIDC provider as well if you'd like to. In fact, the genesis for the video with OIDC and Pocket ID a couple of weeks ago was me messing about with this and trying to get it working with OIDC. So just to keep this video a reasonable length, I'm not going to do that today. But I will put a link to my personal GitHub repo in the description down below, where it's really just a few environment variables you configure for Karakeep to plug it into Pocket ID. So I think that will do us for today. And until next time, I want to say a great big thank you to everybody that's watched right the way to the end. I've been Alex from Tailscale.